You know, this week for me has been such a blessing because of a lot of things just coming together. And, you know, initially when we started off with the church, you know, you've sort of got a vague idea. I can imagine Abraham. Remember when Abraham left? He didn't quite know where he was going. He didn't, I don't think he quite knew how he was going to get there. But he just knew God had said, go. And so off he went. And along the way, a lot of things happened. At one stage, he almost gave his wife away, you know, to the king, and all kinds of things happened. But God kept Abraham on track. That's the amazing thing. Abraham really walked by God's grace. He, you know, Abraham couldn't afterwards turn around and say, man, look at me, I'm this wonderful man of God. He was literally carried along. And there were moments where Abraham almost fell, and God would come and he would pick him up and restore him, and he would continue his journey. But you know, there's something I love about God in this. Not once is it mentioned in the New Testament. Not one of the failures, not one of the things that he'd done wrong or anything like that. In fact, God turns around and God speaks of Abraham, and what does God say about Abraham? The father of our faith. And it uses Abraham as an example of faith. You know, this is the amazing thing about what God does in our lives and what God does in the church. You know, afterwards, there's times where we go through dips. There's times where we fail. There's times where we make mess ups and everything like that. But you know what? One day when we stand before the Lord, God's going to look back and He's going to say, well done, good and faithful servants. And the things, the mistakes that we make and anything like that will not even be mentioned because it's covered under grace. It's covered under the mercy of God. You know, there's one fantastic thing when it speaks about God's forgiveness. God makes this statement. He says, I will not remember your sins. It's something you and I are not even able to do. We forgive, but we remember. God says, I'll go one step further. I'll not only forgive you, but I'll forget everything that you ever did wrong. That means that when we stand before God one day, and we're all embarrassed about things that we've done, and moments that we've failed, and we speak of them, you know what God's going to say? I have no idea what you're talking about. You see, because if God says, I forget, I will forget, He means it. He's able to do it. He's able to erase that and remove it so that it's no longer even there. The fantastic thing about each one of us sitting here is the fact that all of us have engaged on a journey with God, a journey of grace, a journey of mercy, a journey of love. And God's taking us to new places and new heights with Him. And the God that began the journey, and the God that began this walk of grace and mercy with us, is the one that will complete it. You know, I can become stressful. I can look at the church and I can say, God, how on earth are we ever going to get to the place where You want us to be? And then I have to remind myself, grace. 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 There's times where I get tired as well. There's times where I become discouraged. But when I look at what God's done in the last 3 years, I'm actually in awe. You know, some of you guys have been sharing with me. It's actually been quite, I don't know if it was just for me that God wanted me to be aware of some of the things. But so many of you came to me and actually came and shared just some of the things that God had done for you and in just the time. Some of you have only been here for a short while, and the things that God had done in that time for you here. And I actually felt this small. I sort of looked at this and I said, God, can it be? And yet it is. For those of you that spoke to me, it's real. the things that have happened. And you know, for us as well, it's been a time of tremendous growth. We planted churches before, but never this way. This was totally different. This was like, you know, previously you look at some of the big churches, you know, Raymore, Hatfield, one of these, and you model after that. And this time round, when God called us to this, He basically said, you're going to start from nothing. There's no model. There's nothing. The only thing that you're going to go on is the Word and the leading of my Spirit. And that's that. Which meant that we couldn't run somewhere and go and quickly look up in a manual or go and speak to somebody and say, how must we do it? In fact, sometimes I did speak to guys and walked out of there and said, that's definitely not the way I want to do it. Because the guys want to go back again to the old structures and the old ways of doing things and the old ways of leadership styles and everything where people are suppressed and manipulated and everything. And the thing that the desire of our heart was to have a place that would be like home. Would be a place where every person can be themselves fully. Where there's no pressure to conform to be something that you're not. Or to conform to something of spirituality. In other words, you have to pray so many hours a day. You have to do this. You have to qualify. You have to do this course and that course. All of that. John Wimber, many years back, made this statement. He said, this is what God said to him. He said, let my people go and let them grow. And we have seen you grow. We have seen what God has done. And when I go elsewhere and the guys talk about church and that, you have no idea how proud I am of this church. Not of anything that we've accomplished or anything like that, but of you, the church. We are proud of you. I'm proud to be associated with you. And I believe that we're on the verge, like I've said before, of a major, major breakthrough. Major. I've had in the last about 2 months, you know, it's almost like there was a period where God would speak and then it would be quiet, and then God would speak and then it would be quiet, and then, you know, that kind of thing. And there's sort of been a bit of a, like a lull where God spoke, but nothing sort of really much. And in the last 2 months, it's like God's just been speaking, 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 speaking. You guys have no idea the amount of prophetic word that's been spoken over this church in the last 2 months. I'm talking people outside of the church that I've been meeting with and have said to me, man, what? Something's going to happen. I sense something's going to happen with your church. The last few weeks I've been speaking about that, where it says that we are being built together into a habitation for God. Remember what I said about there's a difference between a visitation and a habitation? Most churches have visitations from God. Some churches, God's not even welcome. You know that story of the guy that worked outside in the garden? And where God actually said to him, well, he couldn't get in. So God came and sat next to him. Jesus came and sat next to the guy. And he said to him, why won't they? And this guy was complaining. He said, man, these guys won't let me into the church. I'm allowed to work in the garden, but I'm not allowed to be in the church. And then Jesus said, well, don't worry. They wouldn't even let me in. Now, the thing that God has really been speaking in my heart the last few weeks, and it's been literally a thing of God waking me up in the night and impressing some of these things, is becoming a place where God's Spirit is welcome. Where God actually walks in and feels at home in our midst. Because I believe that God wants to move in. You see, now obviously God is omnipresent. We all know that. But the Bible speaks of the manifest presence of God. We see it in the tabernacle. We see it in the temple. Remember when they finished building the temple and they were busy worshipping, and then what happened? It says the glory of God came down. You know that word Shekinah? The word Shekinah actually means the dwelling presence. It's actually a very encompassing word, but it incorporates dwelling. It means staying there. And it says the Shekinah of God, the glory of God, came down so that the priests were not even able to minister. They were down under the power of God. I believe worship plays a major, major part in that. We have seen the most amazing things happen during praise and worship. Years ago, we went and ministered at first we went to a coffee bar. I think it was in Springs, eh? And we went and ministered at this coffee bar in Springs. And it was related to a church that had never, ever experienced the manifest presence of God or any move of God whatsoever at any stage. We taught on praise and worship, just short. We went into praise and worship, and the next minute the power of God hit that place. A lot of the people that were there, even though it was a Pentecostal church, had not been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And so as these people were falling, and it was actually quite funny, you know, God's got a sense of humor. Because as these guys were falling, there were a whole group of girls that were standing in a circle, just, you know, worshipping the Lord and dancing and everything, and they fell, you know, the one, and then the other one, and then the other one, and the other one. And there was this neat little pile of about five girls lying on top of each other. But as they fell, guess what? Baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. There was another young guy, he fell back into his chair, and he was sitting in his chair like this, he was just enjoying the presence of God, and another girl fell over his lap and into his arms. And he was totally unaware of her, and she was totally unaware of him. They were both just worshiping the Lord. But it was during praise and worship. It was the Friday night. The Saturday we went and we met with a lot of the musicians and the leaders and everything, and we taught on praise and worship and the power and the presence of God that's released through praise and worship. Sunday morning, we go in and we took the worship team and they did the worship with some of our musicians and that. And guess what? God showed up. A church that had never experienced the move of God. One of the ladies that was sitting there, she'd been part of that church for 22 years. Sat in the same place in the church. I can still see it in my mind's eye. On the left side, she sat for 22 years. She would come in. That was her reserved seat in the church. And guess what happened when God showed up? Bang, on the ground. And she started manifesting demons and was delivered of a religious spirit that day. You see, because religion cannot survive in the presence of God. And this is one of the things when you look at Todd Bentley. I know a lot of the stuff that's happening there maybe makes our hair stand up. But you know what? It's God shaking religion out of people. Religion is one of the biggest hindrances to the move of God. And you know what religion in essence is? Religion is when we decide how God must do things. We have our formats. We have all our things. And we expect God to fit in with whatever we want. We work out the program. We stipulate how long. We stipulate, you know, sort of exactly when, what can happen and everything like that. And you know what? God rules and reigns supreme. Jesus is the head of the church. So at the end of the day, what he says goes. In other words, if he says, sorry guys, no meeting today. Today is just going to be a time of worship. Then I want to go with that. If we rock up here one day and God says to us, listen, you're not going to have a meeting. Today you're going to go into the streets. I want to do it. Because at the end of the day, it's about obedience to what he wants. When it comes to miracles and healings and that, I didn't want to get into that today because today we have too much to do in that. But next week I'm going to look, we're going to be speaking about signs and wonders and miracles and how it works and how to step into that and experience it. And what you find with signs and wonders, there's certain things that have to sort of come together. And when they come together, then the power of God is there and miracles happen. It's not a method. It's principles. You see, because one of the things that I learned about God is that God is actually a person that has personality. The closer you get to God, the more you discover that God actually has personality. He has likes and dislikes. He has a sense of humor. He can get quite angry, and when he gets angry, he's not religious at all. We somehow have this idea that when Jesus dealt with the disciples in that, you know, it was sort of this very, you know, "Oh, my brother, how are you today? He interacted with them. That day when he went into the temple and he made a whip and drove them out of the... Believe me, he wasn't nice. He was consumed with anger and with passion for God's house, for his Father's house. And he drove them out. He threw the stuff out. In other words, there was... What do you call it? Say again?
Passionate participation.
That's a good one. You see, and so when God shows up, it oftentimes looks like a mess. And if you guys know Louis Els down in East London, is it East, Port Elizabeth? Port Elizabeth. Now, Tony Cooksey's one son was sort of, you know, up and down, and up and down. Then he's serving the Lord, then he's not serving, then he's serving the Lord. So they go to one of Louis Els's meetings. So Louis Els walks up to him. It was Brett, hey? I can't remember. He walks up to him, grabs him. Louis Els is a big guy. He grabs him by the feet, and he lifts him up by his feet. And he takes him and he shakes him. Shaking all the rubbish and everything out of him. He says that's what God told him to do. Shakes him, puts him down on the ground, and this guy's totally under the power of God. He can't get up. We have seen some of the most incredible things when the move of God comes. Have you ever seen somebody roll upstairs? I'm not talking downstairs, I'm talking rolling upstairs. Were a guy just standing like this for like 3-4 hours just doing this. You try and do that for 3-4 hours. The one guy got up to speak, one of the pastors. He took the mic and he put the mic in front of his mouth, and that's how far he got. Now, you have to meet this guy to really appreciate this. He's one of those guys that has an answer for everything. Very knowledgeable in the Word. And he's standing in front of the church and he's going like... like a fish. And as he's going, guess what? The power of God is hitting the place. And God's showing him, I don't need you. I don't need you to even speak for me to do anything. And it caused a total turnaround in that man's life. Part of what I believe God wants to do with us as a church is that I believe God wants to stretch us. Now, one of the things that I'm really passionate about is balance. In other words, I'm not going to run after Todd Bentley or run after Bill Johnson. Both of them have got something to offer, and I love Bill Johnson. I really enjoy it. We're going to continue with the DVDs this week. And a lot of this stuff on there we're going to have to recap because it's almost too much to take in. But I believe there must be a healthy balance in church. There needs to be solid word where people are taught. There needs to be the move of the Spirit. There needs to be intimacy with God. There needs to be intimacy with one another. A relationship with one another. Okay? There needs to be a going out. There needs to be prayer and intercession, not only for the church, but for the nation. There needs to be a stirring of God that makes us take what God's doing here to the places where we work or wherever God may lead you. All of these facets have to be there. But there's one thing that Bill Johnson said this week that really jumped out at me. And it was as he said it that God spoke. And that's why I got up on Tuesday night and I asked you guys, how much of this were you able to absorb? Because one of the things about God is that before God moves, He first enlarges. Remember that scripture? Enlarge your tent, your territory. It says strengthen your stakes, lengthen your cords, get ready to grow. Now that's one of the things about growth is that you first have to increase the capacity. In what areas? I believe that we need to increase our capacity for God. First. In other words, I'm not talking about just praying. You see, prayer is easy. It's easy to, in a sense, and I'm not belittling it, but you know, when you go on your knees and you say, Lord, you know, the guy that works with me, you know, Father, please touch him, please work in his life, in Jesus' name, amen. This is what I'm talking about. That has to enlarge as well, where we really get down and we really intercede. The Bible says the fervent prayer. Fervent, heartfelt, passionate prayer of the righteous availeth much. Not a sort of by and by, oh Lord, just by the way kind of prayer. Sometimes the things that, or the way that we pray is actually just to ease our own conscience. To make us feel that we've done our duty for the day. But we're not really concerned with the outcome of our prayer. In other words, when I'm praying and I see things are not changing, guess what? I go back and I pray again and I pray again and I cry before the Lord and I persist before the Lord. Why? Because I'm looking for the change. I'm looking for the signs that the things that I'm engaging with God with is happening, because that's why I'm there. I'm not there to just pass the time. I'm there to engage with God and to get results. And I've been accused of being results, focused or whatever. Why do anything if there's not going to be results? And it's the same in my relationship with God. In other words, if I'm going to go and spend time with the Lord, and if I'm going to go on my knees and just fellowship with Him, you know what? I don't want to go there, get up there, off the ground, and wonder, now why did I do that? I want to be able to get off the ground and know that I've touched heaven. I want to be able to get off the ground and feel that there's been an impartation of heaven inside of me, and I'm getting up there and going out with more of Jesus inside of me. Increasing capacity. Increasing capacity. There's things that I want to see God do in this church, but you guys know something. If the capacity is not increased, some people are going to stay behind. And I don't mean they're going to leave the church or anything like that. What I mean is left behind in what God's doing. You see, because God's patient and God waits and God works and God does and that. But there's a point where God says, I can't wait any longer. And then God moves. And one of the things that I've always said is I don't want to be at the tail end. I don't want to be experiencing things that other guys are running way ahead and I'm sort of getting the crumbs that are falling at the back. I want to be in the front. I want to be in the place where God's moving and where we're yearning from God for ourselves and we're moving with what God wants. What does that mean? It means, for example, that we have to increase our capacity to hear God. And I'm not talking about only God speaking through the Word. That too. I'm talking about where God comes and speaks to you and says, my son, my daughter, and talks to you, and you hear His voice. My sheep know my voice. They that are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. God wants to stretch us to a place where we walk, sleep, eat, breathe His life. There's a part of the Holy Spirit that many of us have left or have not experienced. And that's a part where the Holy Spirit is alive. A person that we interact with, that we get up in the morning and there's a presence. There's the Holy Spirit is there. We can feel Him. We can experience Him. Sylvia is reading Good Morning Holy Spirit. I don't know if you started it. You have. I want that. I know a lot of guys have got a lot to say about Benny Hinn today. But I tell you, that man has blessed me in a way that no other preacher has. Because Benny Hinn was the guy that introduced me to a real, living relationship with the Holy Spirit. I didn't even know it was possible. And he talks about it there where the title of the book comes from, where he greets the Holy Spirit and he says, good morning, Holy Spirit. And guess what? Bam! God's there. Tangible. Can experience Him. That's not religious. That's real. It's when we don't have that. When we don't have that living relationship with God, that we move to religion. When we move to the letter, where we move to all kinds of programs and systems and things to actually get things to happen. You'll hear me say something on one of the CDs. I think it's Releasing the Anointing, which is an old CD. But I made this statement on there years ago. I said the lack of evangelism in the world is not due to a lack of training, a lack of material, a lack of things, amplifiers and all this stuff and media and all of this. The lack of evangelism is due to a lack of Jesus in the hearts and lives of people. In the book of Acts, they had nothing of it. They had no, they didn't even have the printed word that they could give somebody a pamphlet. And yet in 2 years, the whole of Asia Minor had heard the gospel. Why? Because the people were burning with zeal. Burning, burning, burning. Wherever they went, they just spilled God, God, Jesus, Holy Spirit. Wherever they went, they were like carriers of God Himself. They had a capacity for God that we don't have today. I'm ministering today because I want you guys to walk out of here with something and ask yourself a question. Firstly, where are you in your relationship with God? I know all of us that are sitting here are saved. But what place does God hold in your life? Is He Lord? That's important. Because if He's Lord, then He should be the most important person in your entire life. More important than your husband or wife. More important than your boss. More important than a mother or a father or a son or a daughter. The time we give Him determines exactly that. Or must God be happy with leftovers? Secondly, how much of God, the person working through the Holy Spirit, how much of that is there in our life? And it's a question I've got to ask myself as well. How much is there? You see, I can only take you as far as I've been. I can't stand here and want to preach something that I cannot live. And the same thing applies with each person sitting here. You want to lead people, you want to take people forward, you want to be in any kind of leadership position. I'm not even talking about title, I'm just talking about where you lead. Lead means you walk in the front and people follow. Where are you taking them? Because if there's not a living, dynamic relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that's alive, where Jesus, the person, is the one that you love, do you know what you'll lead people into? Law. Legalism. You will want to impose rules on people and expect them to live by it, instead of drawing them closer to the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. I don't want to go there. I want to go to a place where there's liberty, where there's a freedom in the Lord, a place where Jesus is our Father, where God the Father is a Father, He's Abba, He's Daddy, where Jesus is truly the Lord of our life, and He's the one that we love, He's the one that we adore, He's the one when we come and we worship that we just love to bits. And where our worship reflects that. You know, one of the things when I'm in pastors' meetings quite a lot, and you know, you get with the pastors, a lot of the guys, and I say it really with reverence, but some of the guys are really out to just be seen. But if there's something that marks a person for me, and that's any person, it's not just a leader, if there's something that really makes a person stand out for me, it's the way they worship God. Because if you have a relationship with the Lord that is real, it will come out in your praises. You cannot have a revelation of Jesus and not worship Him. It's impossible. It's absolutely impossible. And that is my prayer for every person, including myself, is that we will have a fresh, fresh revelation of Him. Where the things that go on around us, and it's difficult for we've been, you know, with the weddings and everything like that, it's so easy to have your heart drawn away after all the busyness and all this kind of stuff. And we have to make a decision. Jesus first. Jesus first. Because if He's first, if He's everything, guess what? Everything else falls into place. Your prayer life falls into place. Your intercession falls into place. The Word becomes alive. That's why the Holy Spirit, that's why Jesus sent the Holy Spirit. Why? Because He didn't want us to live through a book. He didn't want us to experience Him through this book. That's the biggest mistake that we make. He sent the Holy Spirit so that He could be in us, living through us, so that we can experience His presence, experience His love, know Him. And where this that's in here becomes alive, living, changing us, challenging us, renewing us. But you put this before relationship with Jesus, and guess what? It destroys you. The focus has always been relationship with Jesus. From the beginning, that's what I've preached. And guess what? What I'm going to keep on preaching. Secondly, is that we love one another with the love of Jesus. Because in doing that, we are being built together as living stones into a fit habitation for God to come and live amongst us. And I know God lives in each person individually. I know that. But it's the coming together. It's the love. It's the bond that draws together. Jesus prayed. He said, Father, I pray that they will be one, even as we are one. That's God's desire. And when that's in place, God moves in. And the heavens open, and there's a point where God comes and God connects. There's a place of impartation. And with that, I'm done. There's a point of impartation. There's a moment where, It's like everything gets put in place. God works by His grace. God builds relationship. He gets us to a place where we worship Him and where we build relationship with Him and where we really just enjoy Him. And out of that, we begin to enjoy one another and we begin to care for one another. And we truly become the body of Christ, where if one part hurts, the rest of the body is there to heal and take care of that. And when a body is healed, when my body is fully healed and functioning, guess what? It can do what it's supposed to do. You see, it works exactly like our body. Now this body can go to war. Now this body can go and do things and can become an extension of Jesus Christ Himself in this world. That's why we are the body of Christ. And the things that Jesus did on the world, we will be able to do. Because we are His representatives. We are here in His name. You know what it means to be here in His name? Once again, we've brought it down to a religious little phrase that we say. In Jesus' name. What in Jesus' name means, me representing Him. So when you pray in the name of Jesus, what you're actually saying is, Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. In other words, on His behalf, representing Him, I come to you and I present His request. When it comes to going and healing the sick in His name, what it means is you go there and you represent Him. You're His representative, you're His ambassador, and in His name you go and you heal the sick. Or you do whatever. Give somebody a cup of water. Representing Him. That's where God wants us. Part of the function of the body of Christ is to go to war. In going to war, we're going to get wounded. And when we get wounded, we need to take care of the wounds. Always. You stop doing that, and you're not going to have a warrior for a very long time. Do you get the picture? It's one of the things that I determined before the Lord. I said, God, I will not just let people fall away. If I have to leave the 99 sheep and run after the one to go and get him back, I'll do it. And I'll do it again and again and again and again. You know why? Because Jesus loves that person. And if something or someone or if somebody is a part of a body, I'm sure if your finger falls off, you're not just going to leave it lying there on the ground. I truly believe that we need to become the body in the true sense of the word. And I know by faith we are heading there. See, remember positional truth, experiential truth. But it needs to become experiential. It needs to be something that we live and breathe. I'm not somebody that will get people to get it, stand up and make a commitment, because I've just seen too many people stand up and they make a confession and I meet them a month later and they haven't done anything about it. So I'm not going to do that. What I'm rather going to pray is that God will put pressure on us in this area and that God will enlarge our capacity. Will you agree with me in that prayer? That God will enlarge our capacity. That God will increase our capacity for His Word. And I'm talking about revelation, not just letter, but that we'll understand. I mean, that we, the stuff that Bill Johnson was speaking about, that we'll be able to receive that and say, yes, that's the thing. I mean, I was ready to jump out of my seat because of some of the stuff that was being said. but that we'll have a capacity for that. But not only that, but that we'll have a capacity for Him. And you know how you increase the capacity? Who of you have all gone to gym? I won't say who's still going to gym. How do you increase the capacity of a muscle? Increase the demand on the muscle. Is that right? Okay. How do you increase your capacity for God? Increase the demand. Okay. I put a challenge to a group of people once, and I said to them, because the average time that people were spending praying was between 5 and 10 minutes. That was it. Between five. Yeah, some of the guys, yeah, some of it was like per week. But that was sort of the maximum that people could handle, was 5 to maximum 10 minutes of prayer. They couldn't handle more than that. I put a challenge to them the one day. I said, because that's the way, that's what God did with me. And I increased it every day. Now, it sounds very legalistic, doesn't it? But I increased that, and I increased that, and I increased that, and I stretched myself, praying in tongues, for example. And one of the challenges I said to the guys, I said, I want you to work your way up, that you spend a half an hour a day praying in tongues. Just do that. Most of the guys did squat about it. The seed fell on the rocky soil, or the soil, on the rocks. Didn't even take root. But some of the guys heard it and went and started doing it. A few weeks later, one of the guys came to me and he said, man, you won't believe what's happened in my life. Half an hour with nothing. When the Spirit began to flow, and that he would pray for 2 hours. And as he was praying, God would give him revelation about things. And he began to have visitations from God, and he had all kinds of things. Why? It's very simple. When you pray in tongues, who's praying? Holy Spirit. So how does this work? Holy Spirit imparts, uses you, your mind, because it does actually go through a part of the mind, through your lips, up to God. There's this flow. Flow. How does God speak? Same root. So the more you do it, the easier it becomes to hear the Holy Spirit. But not only that, you want to minister to somebody. You're used to this flow. You're used to this flow. And the flow comes and bam, onto somebody. Increasing capacity. One of the ways. And with that we're done. But it's something God will by His grace come and help us, but we have to do something about it. Can we all stand? Let's just pray. Father, thank you that you want to increase our capacity for you, and that you want to increase our capacity, Lord, for the things of your Spirit, so that we will be able to do the things that you want us to do. Father, that we will truly be able to go out there and be life and be salt and be light and all these things. But Lord, what we pray today, Father, is that you will help us to increase that capacity. And Lord, that you will even place a demand on us that will force us to increase, Lord. And Father, one of the ways, you know, oftentimes, Father, we think that we have to wait until, you know, the perfect moment in order to go and speak to somebody or to pray for somebody and that. But Lord, sometimes it's actually just in going and doing that we increase our capacity. And Father, that you will by your Spirit lead us into situations, and Father, that you'll begin to put pressure on us. Not pressure that makes us feel guilty, but Lord, pressure nevertheless to increase. To increase our capacity of fellowship with you. Increase our capacity, Lord, for your word. Increase our capacity for your Spirit. Increase our capacity for the gifts. Increase our capacity to love people. Increase our capacity, Lord, to have a burden for the lost and a burden for this world. Increase our capacity, Lord, for your power and for your authority, that we will be able to go out and change this world. Increase our capacity, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.